Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 12th day of August, 2021. I'm so thrilled to have back on the program one of my favorite guests, who is also a very dear friend, Justin Peters, who is an author, evangelist, conference speaker, and founder of Justin Peters Ministries. And today we are going to be addressing exegeting the true meaning of commonly misinterpreted texts of Scripture. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Justin Peters.
Chris, it's a joy to be with you, brother. It always is. Thank you for this invitation.
And I'm so glad you accepted it. And I want to give our listeners right away our email address should they have any interest in submitting their own question to you on exegeting the true meaning of commonly misinterpreted texts of Scripture. It is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And we will broaden the subjects that we will permit you to ask about, since Justin obviously is most well known for his openly exposing and refuting the charlatans and heretics in the Word of Faith movement. So if you do have a question on that, we would not ignore your question, obviously, on an issue as important as that. But the main theme, as I have already said, will be exegeting the true meaning of commonly interpreted texts of Scripture. And we look forward to hearing from you and your questions at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Well, for our listeners, and there may be a few, I would find it hard to believe that there are any listeners in my audience who are unfamiliar with you. But in the event that there are a few, why don't you let our listeners know about Justin Peters Ministries?
Sure, Chris. My wife, Kathy, and I live in Bozeman, Montana, and God has graciously opened up a ministry to me of full-time evangelism. I travel, preach, and teach across the United States, internationally. Not a lot of international stuff ever since COVID, but Lord willing, that will pick back up when things hopefully get back to some sense of normalcy. But, as you said, I'm most known for engaging the Word of Faith movement, the Apostolic Reformation, the prosperity gospel, and exposing that for the theological farce that it is. But it's not my only interest. And my first commitment is to expository preaching, expositional preaching, which simply means exposing the meaning of the text. I have interest in other subjects as well. I have a book I've written on children and conversion, how to tell when it's wise to baptize your child. Do some work in Roman Catholicism and apologetics in general. So I have a podcast entitled Didache, which is the Greek word for teaching or doctrine. And
also the title of the oldest extra-biblical manual of Christian practice in existence.
That is correct. Yep, sure is. So, kind of an unusual title there for a podcast, Didache, but hopefully it kind of sticks because it's so unusual. So, yeah, a lot of different irons in the fire, and I really enjoy it. By God's grace, I'm privileged to be doing what I'm doing.
Well, if anybody wants more information on Justin Peters Ministries, just go to justinpeters.org, justinpeters.org. And by the way, although this is not the subject at hand, when you were talking about taking your ministry abroad, it popped right in my head. If you were to visit countries where there is a foreign language other than English that is the dominant language of that country, and you are speaking on the issue of tongues, it just reminded me of when Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, before I moved to Pennsylvania, was on WNYG Radio in Babylon, Long Island, New York, and it was taken over by a Spanish-speaking network, Radio Cantico Nuevo, and after a couple of weeks of my show being removed from the airwaves because the entire lineup of programming that used to be English was replaced by Spanish programs, they got inundated with phone calls protesting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio's absence, and they asked me to come back as their only English-speaking talk show host. But the thing that was interesting to me is that when I would get into the studio and listen to the program that was on preceding mine, Spanish program. By the way, about 99% of all the programming on that network was not only Spanish, but Pentecostal or charismatic. And it was it was interesting to me, it was fascinating to me, how although I just have a cursory understanding of Spanish from my high school days, but could still never understand people speaking Spanish with the lightning speed with which they normally may speak, I could pick out immediately when the Spanish host would be speaking in tongues because it was the only part of the program that sounded like a fake language, if you follow what I'm saying. If you follow what I'm saying. He went from speaking something authentic, and even though I couldn't understand it, when he would break out in tongues, it would sound clearly like gibberish. So I just I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say that's exactly right, Chris. In fact, as you were describing that very thing, I've seen various studies done. You know, language has parameters. Every language spoken on the face of the earth has parameters. It has markers that you can tell it's a real language. I don't speak a word of Zulu, but if I heard someone speaking Zulu, I wouldn't have any idea what they're saying, but I could tell it's a real language.
Yes.
Tongues is completely different. When you hear a charismatic speaking in tongues, it's gibberish. It's nonsense. It doesn't follow any of the parameters for normal human language. It's obvious that it's gibberish, and you're exactly right. And that's not, by the way, the genuine gift of tongues. The biblical gift of tongues was speaking in a known human language, just unknown to the one speaking it.
Yes, and you may have people that are more gifted at making their gibberish sound like a real language. I remember, actually, the comedian Sid Caesar was very good at that. Sid Caesar would be playing a comedic role as a German, for instance, and he would be speaking gibberish but because he didn't know the German language. But you would never know because he did such a good job at imitating a language just with sounds and so on. But most of the time, even if somebody, if you were to say that this is a real angelic language, then most of the time, 99% of the time, even if you were to grant them that that was true, they would be saying and repeating over and over again two or three words. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right.
Well, that's not that is not the topic, as I've already introduced to our listeners. It's exegeting the true meaning of commonly misinterpreted texts of Scripture. Why don't you start right off with the text that you believe is commonly misinterpreted that you'd want to set the record straight over? I'm almost speaking in tongues right now. I'm a little tongue-tied.
Okay, sure, Chris. Well, I sent you a few in a text, of course, but I think since we were just given out what we were just talking about, we'll change the order a little bit, and we'll go to one of them that I already had outlined here, and that is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. And that, it, Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And since we were just talking about tongues, this is one of the go-to texts for those who would say that speaking in tongues is a private prayer language. And it's because Paul references speaking with the tongues of angels, and they say that's what speaking in tongues is. We don't speak in tongues, we speak in the tongues of angels. And the advantage to doing that, the argument is that when we speak in the tongues of angels, then Satan cannot understand what we're saying. So it's like we're speaking in code. So
you're telling me something that I have never heard, or at least if I heard it, I don't remember hearing it, because I have been visiting charismatic and Pentecostal churches even before I was a believer, before I was regenerate, and I don't remember that ever being explained to me.
Yeah, that's very common belief among charismatics. I've got videos in my seminar that deal with this. Sid Roth, for example, says that, I mean, a lot of the prominent charismatic preachers do. They'll say that this is when you speak in tongues in your own private prayer closet, you know, not necessarily a church, but when you're at home, just between you and the Lord, you pray in tongues, and when you do that, Satan doesn't understand what you're saying, and so it's like you're speaking in code, and you can slip one in under old Lucifer there, because Lucifer apparently does not understand the tongues of angels.
Now, even though he was one.
Exactly. That's what Satan is. He's an angel. He's a fallen angel, but he is an angel. And so I tell people, if you want to pray in some language that Satan does not understand, then the tongues of angels would be the last language I would recommend you pray. That's what he is. So it makes absolutely no sense. And but that's the go-to text right there.
And even if Satan could understand what you're saying, what is he going to do when you're communicating, when a regenerate person is communicating with God? Is Satan somehow going to thwart the plan of God when he's answering your prayer? I don't even understand the concern or fear over that. It's absurd.
It is absurd, Chris. But that is that's yet another problem with most, in fairness, not all, charismatics, but they have an inflated view of what Satan can do. They really give Satan, in many ways, more power than God himself, and that gets more into the word of faith spectrum of the charismatic position. Not necessarily like your Wayne Grudem's or your John Piper's, but that's more of the word of faith along that charismatic spectrum. But So if Paul is not talking about speaking in some kind of a private prayer language, what is he talking about? Well, Paul is using hyperbole here. He's exaggerating to make a point. And we know that he's exaggerating to make a point because he goes on to say, verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. Well, Paul did not know all mysteries. He did not have all knowledge. In fact, he says in the same chapter that we see in a mirror dimly. In fact, that's verse 12. So now we know in part, then we shall know in full. So he didn't have all knowledge. And then he goes on to say, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains. Well, Paul had never rearranged the topography of Israel. He never literally moved a mountain. And then Paul says, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, well, Paul had not done that either. And if I surrender my body to be burned, Paul says, well, Paul had not surrendered his body to be burned. Obviously, he was still very much alive writing this book. But do not have love, it profits me nothing. So Paul is exaggerating to make a point. He's using hyperbole. And what Paul was doing here, Chris, is really a corrective against the Corinthians, because the Corinthians had become very arrogant in their exercise of the spiritual gifts, and it had really become a contest between them as to who could prove themselves to be the most spiritual. Well, I'm more spiritual than you are because I speak in tongues more than you do. I have the gift of healing more strongly than you do. So, and because of this sin, this arrogance, it just almost destroyed the church from the inside out. And so Paul is writing a corrective, a rebuke to these Corinthians. And what he's saying basically is this: look, Corinthians, you think you're all that in a bag of chips. You think you're so spiritual because of what you think you can do. If what you do and what you know is not based upon a foundation of love, it profits you nothing. It profits you nothing. And that is true of us today. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what we think we know. If what we do and what we know is not based upon a foundation of love, and when I say love, I don't mean a touchy-feely, sappy kind of a kumbaya kind of a love, but a doctrinal love, a love that is based upon sound doctrine. If what we do and what we know is not based upon that, it profits us nothing. We have become like noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. So that's what Paul was saying. This 1 Corinthians 13:1 is not a text to support some secret private prayer language that Satan doesn't understand.
Well, if you're finished properly exegeting that passage, I should say, let's move on to one of my favorite passages, and a passage that is no doubt one of the very favorite passage of every Calvinist alive. That is John 10:27. Such a beautiful, encouraging, and comforting text. In fact, let me look up that passage as I am sitting here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How is that commonly misunderstood or misinterpreted?
Yes, Chris, this is possibly one of the most widely misquoted and misinterpreted verses in the New Testament. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The way that is most often taught is that this is proof that we are to be hearing God speak to us in a direct, quotable sense, outside of Scripture, in some inner impression, maybe a hunch, a feeling, a voice in our heads, possibly even an audible voice. And this is God speaking to us on a regular daily basis, giving us guidance in our lives. Well, that's not what John 10:27 is talking about at all on any level. In fact, to get the context, really all you need to do is go up to the one verse before it, verse 26, and Jesus says, he's referring to the Jews that had been challenging him and questioning him, and he said to them, verse 26, you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So when you look at verse 26, you see very clearly that the context here is not God whispering to us inside of our heads, telling us to where to go to have lunch one day or something like that. He's talking about salvation. He says to the Jews, you do not believe. Why do you not believe? You don't believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So this is talking about salvation. And then verse 28, the very next verse, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is very clearly talking about salvation. This is the effectual call of the gospel. Chris, before a person becomes a Christian, before you became a Christian, before I became a Christian, you know what we were? We were sheep. Now, we were lost sheep, but we were sheep. Goats don't turn into sheep. Sheep don't turn into goats. We were sheep from before the foundation of the world.
That just really means that we were among the elect.
That's correct. Yep, that's correct. In fact, read John 17, the high priestly prayer, and Jesus talks about that very thing. The elect are that group of people that God has given, the Father has given to the Son as a gift. It's what we are. We are gifts from the Father to the Son. And so before our conversion as lost people, we were sheep. We were just lost sheep out there in the pasture of life with our heads down, grazing, minding our own business. But one day, all of a sudden, we hear a voice. We hear a call. And we perk our heads up, and we see the shepherd, and we go to him in salvation.
Yes, and to clarify what you mean by that, you are not saying that we are hearing a voice from heaven in an actual way where we're audibly hearing someone other than a human instrument. You're talking about when a person hears the voice of God, either through reading the scriptures on their own or from an evangelist, a preacher, etc.
Yes, yes. This is a picture that Jesus is painting for us. It's a metaphor. That we are lost sheep, and when we hear the voice of the shepherd, that is hearing the gospel, as you said, whether it is read in the scriptures or we hear it preached from a preacher. And we hear that, we hear the gospel, we are called, and we go to the shepherd in salvation. This is the new birth. This is when we pass from death to life. This is when the old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. This is when God, through his Holy Spirit, takes out our heart of stone, puts in a heart of flesh. This is a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. And notice that Jesus says, they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So if you've ever wondered about eternal security, can you lose your salvation? Well, spend some time in John chapter 10. Jesus says, no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. And then, as if Jesus' hand were not strong enough, and it is, but look at the next verse, verse 29. Jesus says, my Father who has given them to me, again, that's what we are, with gifts from the Father to the Son. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And so, the picture is we're out there in the pasture of life. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calls us with the call of the gospel. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. We come to the Shepherd. We walk into his hand, as it were. He holds us in his hand. And then Jesus, in verse 29, he takes the hand of the Father and wraps it around that of his own. So we are being held in the hand of Jesus. His hand is being held in the hand of the Father. And ain't nobody getting out of that.
Amen.
That is eternal security right there. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. It's a beautiful picture of salvation, of conversion, and being held securely in the hands of both Jesus and the Father. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous passage of Scripture.
Yes, in fact, I want to return to it just for a couple of more clarifications. But we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody wants to join us, as I said before, with a question of your own, please email us a question to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Justin Peters right after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vodi Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
family. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pick the right Bible.
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in today, our guest for the entirety of the program is Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries. And we are addressing exegeting the true meaning of commonly misinterpreted texts of Scripture. If you'd like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N @gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if you're question involves a personal and private matter. Before the break, Justin, you were refuting a common misinterpretation of John chapter 10:27, and you were also including in that correction an affirmation of what has been called eternal security. Now, I am quite certain that you believe in a doctrine that is very similar and involves eternal security, but I think is better named perseverance and preservation of the saints, because of the fact that there are many who claim to be believers of eternal security and yet also believe in the heresy of a repentedless salvation, where someone could take comfort and encouragement and confidence that they are truly born again and headed for heaven merely because they recited a prayer at Bible camp when they were 7 years old and may have very soon after abandoned all notion of Christ, may even be a cross-dressing serial killer, and that person is being told by fellow Christians in their lives, I remember he raised his hand at Bible camp when he was seven and said the prayer, so even though he's doing some horrible things, he's still headed for heaven. You obviously, knowing you long enough, do not believe in that heresy.
I do not, Chris. No, I do not. That's easy believism, cheap grace, antinomian, different flavors of that, but no, the sinner's prayer, quote unquote, is not in the Bible, as it's commonly known in the evangelical world. Now, I am not one who says that God does not hear a prayer from someone who is truly convicted over his sins, truly repentant, cries out to God for forgiveness, absolutely. But most of evangelicalism has reduced the sinner's prayer to the theological version of abracadabra. You know, you repeat these words, and bada boom, bada bing, you're in the club. Never examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. You know, it doesn't really matter how you live, just as long as you prayed that prayer and got baptized, then you're good to go. And write the date down, too, in the cover of your Bible that you prayed that prayer. So if you ever doubt your salvation again, and all you need to do is not examine yourself to see if you're in the faith, as Paul tells us to do in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Nope, that's too hard. Just go back to your Bible and look back. There it is. I prayed the prayer on April the 10th in 1979. And yep, I've done nothing for the Lord since then, but hey, I prayed that prayer back in 1979, so I know I'm good to go. That is just a blasphemous doctrine, and untold numbers of, I mean, millions of people believe they are saved, not because there's real fruit in their lives, not because their desires and affections have been changed, not because there is an increasing pattern of holiness and decreasing pattern of sin in their lives. No, because they prayed some prayer that's not even in the Bible many years ago. They're resting their assurance of salvation on that, and that is a tragedy.
And I might add to that, I gave an extreme example of somebody being categorized as a Christian, even though they are a cross-dressing serial killer. I would even say that one should be seriously questioning their salvation, regardless of what kind of profession they made or continue to make, when their faith is lifeless and dead, when they are not moved by hearing the Word of God. In fact, they may even be bored to death by it and not even want connection or association with a local church, and their heart is not moved to obey Christ's commands, their spirit is not grieved when they disobey Christ. They're basically walking zombies who have an identity as a Christian, perhaps because of the way they were raised or what have you. But that person should be collapsing to his or her knees, crying out in repentance for forgiveness, because that person will be going to the same hell as Hitler and the serial killer.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, you don't have to be a have a desire for Christ? Do you have a desire for His Word? Do you have a desire to please Him? Do you have a godly sorrow over your sin? Do you grieve over your sin because you understand that your sin grieves God? Do you have a love for the bride of Christ, His church? Do you have a desire to fellowship with the saints? Do you have a love for the brethren? These are all things that should be in every believer's life. Not most. 100% of them. And
Amen.
So if your life is lacking those things, then you have every reason to do what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself. See if you're truly in the faith. Because if you're lacking those things, then you're not.
And also to reiterate something very important that you said that might have flown over the heads of many. This text, or the texts surrounding it also, in John 10, really affirm a Reformed understanding of what is called the Ordo Salutis, or in English, the order of salvation. Because most Christians, this was not always the case, but most Christians today are not Calvinists, and they believe that by believing, they become sheep. But that is not the order that God provides in the Scripture. And in fact, it is even further confirmed in Acts 13:48, where it says, those who were ordained unto eternal life believed. The sheep believed. The goats did not become sheep by believing. So am I right in this association with the order of salvation?
You're exactly right, Chris. You're exactly right. Our election, the giving, our when God in eternity past, as Ephesians 1 says, He chose us, referring to believers, He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. In eternity past, we were given by the Father to the Son as gifts, love gifts. And so we were sheep, as Jesus says here in John 10:26, to the Jews challenging Him, you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. That's why you don't believe. Not because the other folks were smarter than you and could figure it out. No, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. You were never given to. So that is absolutely right. Absolutely right.
We have a listener who seems to write in whenever you're on, Mary in Cork, Ireland. She is the very Mary who, while visiting relatives in the United States, volunteered at one of my pastor's luncheons when you were the speaker, and you had your photo taken with her, if you recall.
Yeah. I remember Mary. I sure do.
Okay. She says, hi, Chris and Justin. I just heard that Justin was coming on your radio show, so I had to tune in to listen to him. Now, I want to exegete Mary's words there for a minute. She is revealing that she otherwise would not be listening. I just heard that Justin was coming on your radio show, so I had to tune in to listen to him. So Mary would be listening right now to John MacArthur on YouTube or something else had it not been for you being on the program. But anyway, she says, this scripture often pops up, and some people seem to have different ideas about what the second part of it means. I would like to know what your thoughts about it are. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Yeah, I've heard different interpretations of that, even by people who agree on many, if not most, other theological matters. So perhaps you could share us how you exegete that.
Yeah, well, God is slow in His wrath. He's slow to anger. In fact, this gets into what some theologians refer to as common grace. God would be entirely just to wipe every single person off the face of the earth and send every single one of us to hell. He would be entirely just to do that. Now the non-elect, those who will die in their sins, God has extended even to them a measure of patience and forbearance, in that he allows a lost person who will die in his sins, allows that person, you know, however many years on earth to enjoy life, to enjoy good food and sunsets and, you know, friends and family and that kind of thing. God wouldn't have to do that. He does not have to do that. He could send everybody to hell immediately. So he is slow to anger in that. And as far as visiting visiting sins onto the third and fourth generation, that, and I don't have the text pulled up in front of me, but sin does have consequences. And the consequences of that, of our sin, depending on what the sin is, can be passed on to different generations down the line, so to speak, from us. But as far as personally, I am not personally responsible for anyone's sin other than my own. Now, my sin may have consequences that affects a lot of other people, but I am only accountable for my own sin. I'm not accountable for yours, and you're not accountable for mine. So, and Ezekiel 18 brings this out as well. So, that's what's in view there. It's not that the guilt itself is imputed. You know, I'm not guilty for my great-great-grandfather's sin. In fact, there's a guy on YouTube, calls himself, his name is Mike Rutkowski. He's a Word of Faith. I didn't say wacko, but he is. And he's got a video up entitled Exposing Justin Peters, and he says that the reason that I have, referring to me, Justin Peters, the reason Justin Peters has cerebral palsy is because of his parents' sin. And because my mom and dad sinned, and they passed that sin on to me, and that's the reason I'm crippled. That's garbage. I mean, read John chapter 9. The blind man. The disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said it was neither this man's sin nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God, the power of God, might be displayed in him. So judicial guilt of sin is borne by no one other than the one who commits the sin.
And I'd like to bring up a text that I believe is misused by many within our circles of theology, yours and mine, Justin, those that are theologically reformed, but unlike you and I, are paedo-baptist. Now, I have to make it very clear that I am not broad-brushing all paedo-baptists in regard to the text I'm about to read and its misinterpretation by many paedo-baptists. There are paedo-baptists who would not agree with this extreme interpretation that I am about to provide, but I'll have you comment on yourself. In Acts chapter 2, in verse, let's see, where should I start? let me just start with verse 38. And this is Peter speaking. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise belongs to you and your children and to all who are far off, to all whom the Lord our God will call to himself. Now, there are paedo-baptists in the Reformed community who take this as a promise that their children and their grandchildren are going to be saved. Now, it's kind of interesting. I heard a brother preaching on this years ago, And he was using this text for that very reason, so that everybody listening in his audience could, that was Christian, of course, could take great comfort and encouragement and confidence that they can know for certain that their children will be saved. And then he really sunk his own ship with the following statement when he said, and you will find that this is most often the case with most Christian families. Now, what do you mean most often? If it's a promise that your children and grandchildren are going to be saved, then it shouldn't be most often. It should be every single time. But the reason I brought it up is it's kind of a reverse of the misinterpretation of generations being cursed by their ancestors' sins, if you follow what I'm saying. This is a reverse of that, where the blessing of salvation will come. It's almost as if you could breed Christians. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Chris. That kind of is the other side of that coin. It's a very poor interpretation of that text, what Peter is saying there. It's for the promises for you and your children and for all who are far off. Well, I mean, if you extrapolate that and bring that to its logical conclusion, the way that some of our Paedo-Baptist friends are interpreting that text, then all who are far off, I mean, you could pretty much get to universalism in using that kind of logic. So it's just not true. No, everyone must come to Christ individually.
And that is the promise, that if they repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that promise, if their children and grandchildren repent, that means that they will receive the gift of that promise.
That's right. It's the free offer of the gospel that is open to everyone, to every generation after the cross, every generation that the promise or the offer of the gospel stands. But it doesn't mean that everyone will be saved, obviously. So it's a very poor interpretation of that text. And fact of the matter is, there's nowhere in the New Testament, not only do we not see paedo-baptism, baptism of infants, we don't even see baptisms of children. Children were around, they were mentioned in the book of Acts, but nowhere are children referred to as disciples, or do we have any record of them actually being baptized. So it's, honestly, Chris, I think that paedo-baptism is, I really believe it's a Roman Catholic hangover. I think it's an area in which some of us in our Reformed soteriological circles have not quite fully reformed yet. I think it's a vestige of Roman Catholicism that we would do well to just shake off and be done with.
Amen. I agree. And I ask all of our paedo-baptists listening, our paedo-baptist brethren listening, to be patient with us and not be overly upset by our our loving criticism. In fact, right. Tomorrow, a dear friend of mine is going to be my guest, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, who's an Orthodox Presbyterian pastor. So my Reformed brethren know that I have both paedo-baptists and Reformed Baptists on the show. But I'm going to be honest when I see fit. I critique my Reformed Baptist brethren when I believe it is appropriate. But we have to go to our break right now, our midway break. If you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back after these messages, so don't go away.
Boys, I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Honey, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at IronSharpensIronRadio.com, where you can click support. That's IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand. that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, never forget how valuable, how vital, how crucial solid-ground-books.com is to the existence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If solid-ground-books.com were to cease advertising with us, we would likely have to go off the air, barring a financial miracle from God. So please patronize solid-ground-books.com as frequently as you can, purchase as generously as you can, and keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most crucial advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the very finest in Reformed Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our day, with such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please, go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Justin Peters and our theme of the day, which is exegeting the true meaning of commonly misinterpreted texts of Scripture, I just have a few important announcements to make. First of all, please continue praying for my brother John. Many of you know, who listen to this program daily, that my oldest brother John, who is 76, is in a skilled nursing facility in Denton, Texas. He was given the grim prognosis from his doctor that he only has 6 months to live at best because of his critical stage emphysema and cancer. It is the emphysema that the doctors think will likely take his life in 6 months or less, even more so than the cancer. So please pray for physical healing. Please pray that his profession of faith in Christ is even more vividly clear, and that it continues to be an ongoing daily thing that he expresses. Please pray that I am fully convinced that he is truly a born-again believer before he departs this earth. But now I have added to that prayer, my brother John's wife, Jan, my sister-in-law, is now also in the hospital with COVID and pneumonia. So please pray for her healing too and her salvation. Also, folks, if you are a man in ministry leadership, please, if you are able to get to Carlisle, Pennsylvania on Monday, September 27th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., I'm having my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon absolutely free of charge, featuring guest speaker Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, founding chancellor of African Christian University, author and well-known conference speaker. In fact, he's also, as many of you have heard from ads we are airing, he's going to be one of the featured speakers at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, from September 30th through October 2nd, along with my guest today, Justin Peters. In fact, Justin, would you not concur that Conrad Mbewe is certainly one of the most powerful preachers alive today?
I agree, Chris. I agree. I just love Conrad. He's been referred to as the Spurgeon of Africa. I don't know that he would give that name to himself. I think he's far too humble. But I've been around him some. I've preached for him at his church, and he would not tell you this, but I will. He helped me while I was there to get my socks and shoes on. I wear compression socks because of persistent swelling in my feet and lower legs, and I can't put compression socks on by myself. But every day I was with him, he helped me do that, and just a true servant, dear brother in the Lord. And so I know a lot of people think all these big name preachers, you know, they're too good for the little folks. I can assure you that that's not always the case. It may be true with some, but not with Conrad, not with the guys that I would share a pulpit with. He's a good brother.
Amen. And so therefore, if you are a man in ministry leadership, whether you're a pastor, a deacon, an elder, a parachurch leader, and you can make it to Carlisle, Pennsylvania on Monday, September 27th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Not only are you going to be fed for free and hear an amazing message, I'm sure, from Conrad and Mbewe for free, you're also going to leave there with a heavy sack of free brand new books, personally selected by me, published by most of the major Christian publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom. Every year since the 1990s, the major publishers have been donating 100 free copies of any particular book by them, published by them, that I select, so that every man in attendance can get a copy of that book. And so therefore, since many publishers do this, every man in attendance will have a very heavy sack of books that they will go home in their possession. So, if you would like to be blessed by this, this was the brainchild of my late wife, Julie, in the 1990s. She is the one that said, let's every year have a pastor's luncheon that's absolutely free, where there's no hidden agenda, there's nothing for sale there. You're just treating men to a time of refreshment and fellowship and a good message from a gifted preacher. And I took her up on her idea, and I've been doing it ever since the 1990s. Thanks be to the mercy and grace of God. And so if you want to attend the next one with Conrad and Mbewe as the speaker, send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And as far as the G3 conference is concerned, Justin, I know that, as I just said, you're on the roster. And I know that, as is typically the case, the speakers don't know exactly what they're going to discuss or preach on till a week or two before the conference. But do you know what you're speaking on? Other than I know that the central umbrella theme over the whole conference is Christ is supreme over all. But do you have a specific title or theme you are going to be addressing?
Well, I haven't nailed it down exactly, Chris, but I'm leaning towards preaching on... Okay, this is going to sound radical when I say it, so I need to qualify. Preaching on a different Jesus. Not that I will be preaching a different Jesus, but I will be showing some different Jesuses, if you will, that are being promoted in the evangelical world, and showing some videos of that, some very common Christological errors, and then correcting it from Scripture. That's kind of the direction I'm leaning right now.
Well, if you'd like to attend, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And register. The conference takes place September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia. And I hope to see you there, because I will be manning an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth there. This will be my fourth year in a row doing so. Also, folks, if you love this show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We are in urgent need of your financial support. Because of the coronavirus pandemic hysteria hurting so many people in our audience financially that they are either giving less or not giving at all anymore. So we have really experienced a radical reduction of giving from our listeners. Please help us replenish that which was lost. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And please don't let those statements by me be any indication that I do not appreciate so much those loyal givers or those first-time givers who have been giving. Some of you since 2005 when we first launched the show, and some of you very recently for the first time. I cannot describe in the English language how grateful I am to you and how grateful I am to God for you. So please don't ever take my appeals for more giving as any kind of a sign that I do not appreciate what those who give have done and sacrificed. So thank you so much. But please also remember that if you are giving, first consider whether you are fully capable financially of supporting your church and your family, because those are two commands of God. Do not siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and don't put your family in further financial peril if you're really struggling to survive. So you must obey those two commands, providing for church and family, before you give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also, if you prefer snail mail, a physical address will appear on your screen at ironsharpensironradio.com when you click support. So if you prefer mailing a check the old-fashioned way with your local postal service, that is how you get the address, ironsharpensironradio.com, click support. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local, faithful, Bible-believing church, theologically sound church, I have lists of such churches all over the world, and I may be able to help you find a church, as I already have done with many people in our audience spanning the globe. If you are in that category of being in need of a biblically faithful, theologically sound church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Justin Peters. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence. And I know, Justin, you wanted to further clarify and finalize some of your comments that you were beginning to make earlier on John chapter 10, verse 27.
Yes, Chris, I just kind of wanted to wrap it up, and I think we've explained the meaning well, but I would say this as a footnote to that, is that John 10, 27 is so commonly misinterpreted. If you hear a preacher, male or female, and I mean, female preachers, a whole other issue in itself, but there's a lot of popular female Bible teachers out there. So whoever you're listening to, if you hear a preacher misuse John 10, 27 in that way, reduce it, such a beautiful and clear text of Scripture, reduce it to something so menial and trivial as God whispering to you on a daily basis, telling you where to go to have lunch one day, or take a right turn instead of a left turn. If you get the meaning of John 10:27 that wrong, whoever you're listening to, if that's what they do, that person has no business teaching the Bible, period. I mean, if you can miss John 10:27 that badly, then that person has no business teaching the Bible. That person does not need to be behind the pulpit, needs to be in front of the pulpit, because you don't have to be a Greek scholar to understand the meaning of what Jesus is saying there.
In fact, if you were to take that view to be logically consistent, you would have to believe that those that do not receive revelatory teaching from God himself outside of the Bible, you would have to believe that those who are cessationists like Justin and I are damned because of the wording in that passage. We would not be his sheep, since we do not receive.
That's right. Yeah.
Also, keep in mind about the texts regarding curses following generations after the individuals who perpetrated the sin originally. That is the very thing that I don't know if they're using the text that Mary had brought to us earlier in the Old Testament, Numbers 14:18. But the woke movement, the cancel culture movement, they are using that kind of logic to blame all white people for sins of not only their ancestors, but people who are not even related to them by blood, other than through the family of Adam. this is absolutely atrocious and insane. And in fact, if you want to be consistent with that, why are not all blacks being held responsible for the blacks that sold their own people into slavery? I mean, you could go on and on and on with this kind of insane logic.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Chris. It's woke theology, and some of the woke social justicians have blamed, oh, if you're white, then you're culpable in the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. Well, I wasn't even alive when that happened. So, but it is, it's absurd. It guts the meaning of the gospel. It guts the heart of the gospel. And that is why the social justice movement is so an egregious cancer that is infecting so much of the evangelical world. Even some people in our soteriologically reformed circles, Chris, have bitten into this apple, so to speak. And it is a poison that is infecting so many churches, and it's going to end in disaster.
Now,
in terms of meaning, gospel on its head.
Do you have another passage that you'd like to address? Because we do have some listeners with questions and passages of their own. So do you want to move on first to one of your own that you have?
Yeah, sure, Chris. Let's go to one that might surprise a lot of people, but I think might be pretty interesting. Let's go to Ephesians 4:26. And so Ephesians 4:26, even though you may not know it by the address, you undoubtedly know the verse, because it says, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." Familiar verse. But the way that we have most often heard this taught is that basically if you have a spat with your spouse, if you have a tiff with your wife or your husband and you have an argument, then you need to get it worked out, kiss and make up before you go to bed. Don't go to bed angry. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, I won't argue that that's really good marital advice. That's a good thing to do. But I would submit to you that that is not what Ephesians 4:26 is talking about. So when Paul says be angry, that's actually a command. Be angry and yet do not sin. Now, when you look in your English translation, that word yet should be italicized, meaning that it's not actually in the text. So what Paul is saying here is just supplied by the translator. So what Paul is actually saying, be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So what is the object of this anger? Well, whatever the object is, it must not be inherently sinful. Otherwise, Paul would not say, be angry. I mean, if it was an inherently sinful anger, then you shouldn't be angry at all. Because even if you get rid of that anger before the sun goes down, if it's inherently sinful, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. But that's not what Paul's saying. He's saying, be angry. Don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. I would submit that the object of the anger in Ephesians 4:26 is not your husband or your wife. The object of this anger is sin. In other words, be angry at your sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on that anger. In other words, be angry at your sin. Stay angry at your sin. Don't let the sun go down. Stay angry at it. And when we hear that phrase, don't let the sun go down on your anger, what Old Testament story does that kind of bring to our minds? It reminds us of Joshua's long day, right? The Israelites were battling the Amalekites, and as long as the sun stood still, then the Israelites had victory over the Amalekites. So be angry, stay angry, don't let the sun go down on that anger. Always be angry at it. And so this is telling us to go to war against our sin. There should never be a time when we are not angry at our sin. In fact, for context, looking up at the previous verse, verse 25, Paul says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, lying. So what is lying? Sin. Therefore, laying aside sin, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry. Don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So the context here is arguing for sin as the object of this anger. And I think the next verse, verse 27, absolutely cinches it when Paul says, do not give the devil an opportunity. When I realize that, that's like a light bulb moment. It's like, that's what he's saying. Do not let the devil, or do not give the devil an opportunity. When does the devil have an opportunity in our lives? When we're not at war with our sin. When we become lackadaisical, when we become a little too chummy with sin, when we're no longer doing what Paul says to do in Romans 8:13, put to death the deeds of the body. When we're not doing that, that's when the devil has an opportunity. And there's two words, primary words for anger in the New Testament, Chris, and those two words are orge and thumos. Orge and thumos. Now, orge refers to a settled disposition of anger. Just a settled disposition that's not going anywhere, it's always there. That's orge. Thumos is a sudden outburst of anger. And picture it this way. Mount St. Helens. Those of us who are old enough to remember Mount St. Helens, I think it was 1980, right, exploded. So orge and thumos. Think of orge as the lava mass underneath Mount St. Helens. It's just always there. It's always roiling underneath the surface. That's orge. Thumos is the explosion. That's what happened when Mount St. Helens exploded. That's thumos. So which word does Paul use here when he says be angry? It's not thumos. It's not the explosion. He uses the word orge, this settled disposition of wrath, of anger. Have that anger. Be that kind of angry against your sin. That's what Ephesians 4:26 says.
Great. And we have a question that actually might cause a bit of controversy even among the cessationists listening. Because not all cessationists agree that the verse that Grady is hinting at is being properly used to speak directly about the cessation of the sign gifts, even though the people that disagree with that are themselves cessationists, if I'm making sense. But anyway, you'll find out in a second what I mean. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina says, greetings, brothers Chris and Justin. I've only attended one service that was charismatic and found it disorderly and the gibberish confusing. Well, first of all, Grady, I'm glad that you found the gibberish confusing, because if you understood it, I'd have my serious fears about your mental state. If you knew exactly what the gibberish meant. But anyway, how do they justify speaking in tongues when the Apostle Paul said tongues would cease? And he is no doubt referring to the text in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Now, not all cessationists use that as a proof text to prove that tongues will disappear before the end of time. Many do use that as a proof text, but many don't, even though they believe that tongues will cease. They just don't use that as a proof text. Now, I'll pass that on to you, because I'm not 100% sure where you stand on that text specifically.
Yeah, sure. So, 1 Corinthians 13, I believe, is a powerful argument for cessationism. It's not the only arrow in the cessationist quiver by any stretch, but I do believe it's a compelling text. Let me pull up my notes here. I think we need to talk about what the perfect is as well. There's different views on what the perfect is.
Yeah, some believe it's the completed canon of Scripture. Some believe that it's being face to face with Christ in the in eternity in heaven.
Yeah, correct. Right. So those are legitimate views. The completed canon of Scripture. That's not my personal view. I don't think that the perfect refers to the completed canon of Scripture. It's a legitimate view. I have no problem with people coming to that position. In fact, I think that's what Andrew Rappaport holds to. I think that's a little bit unlikely given that verses 10 and 12 are parallel. Some say that the perfect is the eternal state ushered in by the second coming of Christ. It's not my view either. I believe that the perfect refers to the individual eternal state of the believer. So, like, whenever I die, Chris, that will be my perfect, because it allows for the permanence of love, and it fits the reference there that Paul makes face-to-face. Because when I die and I am glorified, go to heaven, that will be my perfect. That's when I will see face-to-face. So I think that's what the perfect is. But anyway, all of those views are legitimate views. Now, as far as when Paul says prophecy and knowledge will be done away, katergethasentai, prophecy and knowledge there are in the passive voice in the Greek, and what that indicates is that there will be an outside force that will cause these gifts to come to a halt. Prophecy and knowledge will be done away, katergethasentai. Now, tongues is different. It's in a different voice. Tongues is in the middle voice, halcentai, and that, what that means is that tongues will cease on their own. And I think we saw that. I think the tongues did indeed cease on their own. I think we can safely say by the year 80-70, tongues had ceased. They ceased with the passing away of the apostles, passing of the apostolic age. Tongues just kind of ceased by themselves. They just faded away, as did, by the way, the gift of healing. We see that in the New Testament.
And just out of curiosity, sorry to interrupt you, but would you say that that goes hand in hand with the understanding of many Reformed cessationist Christians that tongues were, in addition to spreading the gospel to the Gentiles in foreign languages, they were also intended to be a sign of judgment against Israel, and therefore,
yes,
in AD 70, when you have God destroying the temple through Israel's enemies, that sign of judgment against Israel was basically brought to fullness, and therefore this tongues were no longer needed as a sign of judgment.
That's exactly right, Chris. That's exactly right. Tongues were, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:20-22, they were as a sign. That was their purpose. They were given as a sign of judgment to unbelieving Israel. Paul quotes Isaiah 28 there in 1 Corinthians 14. That's the context of Isaiah 28. One of the ways that the Jews knew that they were under God's judgment is that there would be a group of people in their midst speaking a foreign language, Babylonian, Assyrian, what have you. And when that happened, they knew that, God's about to bring the hammer down. God's bringing judgment. And so that is exactly, you're exactly right. That was the purpose, the function of the gift of tongues, to show God's judgment against unbelieving Israel because they had rejected Jesus as their Messiah. And as a sign of judgment, God's salvific gaze, if you will, his gaze of salvation was shifting away from the Jews to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. And so that was the function of the gift of tongues.
Well, I don't know if you are finished discussing that passage, but we have to go to our last break. If you have any further comments on it, we can have you provide those when we come back. And by the way, thank you, Grady, and continue spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Asheboro, North Carolina, and beyond. if anybody else has a question, I would advise you send it in immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com is the email address. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Back together again, yeah.
Hi, I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? to foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. And Justin, did you want to follow up with any more clarifications about that verse in 1 Corinthians that usually is championed by cessationists? And if not, we can move on either to another text of your own or to one of our listener texts.
Yeah, no, I think we pretty much wrapped it up. You know, there's different, as I said, different takes on what exactly the perfect is, and there's three different main views, and they're all legitimate views within a cessationist camp.
Okay, so do you have a text of your own that you'd like to follow up with to exegete properly, or do you want me to go to a listener question?
I'm not sure we have enough time. I have to ask some more. Let's answer a question or two.
All right, we have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, in Acts 4:32, we read, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them." There have been Marxists who have used this verse to support socialism and even communism amongst Christians. How do you respond to them?
Yeah, that, you talk about eisegesis, that is a stretch to be sure. We know that the early Christians and apostles and disciples had their own personal property. In fact, Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of land, and they were supposed to do that, to give at least some of the profits of that to the church. They kept it back for themselves. So we know that private ownership of property was a thing. This is, Acts 4:32 is not, it's not advocating Marxism or communism or socialism. This is just simply talking about how the believers took care of one another. In fact, Paul says to do good to all men, but especially to the household of the faith. In other words, especially to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not advocating neo-Marxist socialist kind of economic construct. And all that's eisegesis at some of its worst.
Yes, and this obviously in no way condones a government enforcing the sharing or abandoning of one's own wealth and property. This, the whole reason why this is even mentioned is this was a voluntary and loving act. It wasn't something enforced by a government.
Yeah, right. They did it on their own. This is, again, this is within the household of faith. This is within believers caring for one another. This is not. This is something the Christians took upon themselves to do, not something that they were being forced to do by their version of Uncle Sam. Not at all.
Well, I'd like you now to, since we are rapidly approaching the end of the show, I'd like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners regarding your program today. In fact, I might even want to start off your concluding summary by saying that just because we believe in the perfection of the Word of God and that it is God-breathed and that it is inerrant does not necessarily mean on this planet the body of Christ will be in complete harmony and unison regarding the exegesis and interpretation. But at the same time, when things are really twisted and outlandish and even deformed to the point that they are teaching in the minds of heretics the opposite of what God intended them to teach, we have to be very careful and ready and prepared to expose these false interpretations. So perhaps you could pick up where I left off there.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. You can take any number of verses of Scripture out of their context, and you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say, and that's what the cults do. That's what the Mormons do, the Jehovah's Witnesses do, the prosperity preachers do, Word of Faith, and they are. I mean, Roman Catholics, that they lift verses out of their context and read a meaning into it that is not there. So Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent, study to show yourself approved to God, as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth, accurately handling, rightly dividing the word of truth, the scriptures. And that accurately handling or rightly dividing, it's from the Greek word orthonomeo, and it literally means to cut it straight. And that's our task as Bible interpreters. We are to cut it straight with God's word. Don't read a meaning into it. Because when we do that, then we're going to come up with a false interpretation of Scripture. Therefore, we will have a false understanding of God Himself. What we know about God is derived from His Word. And so we've got to cut it straight with God's Word so we can know God rightly and live a life of obedience to His glory.
Amen. Well, let me repeat the contact information for Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries. His website is justinpeters.org, justinpeters.org. Please do not forget about the G3 conference where Justin and over 20 other speakers will be speaking this September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Above All. That website for more details is g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And please, if you attend, look for me at my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth, which will be there. I'm going to be, God willing, interviewing not only speakers at the conference on site, but also listeners of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio who may want to share with our audience how Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has specifically blessed them. So if you'd like to have your own thoughts aired on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at a later date when we compile all these recordings, please stop by my exhibitors booth at the G3 conference. Also, don't forget, if you are a man in ministry leadership and you'd like to attend the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon on Monday, September 27th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bongiorno Conference Center in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa will be speaking. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. It's absolutely free of charge, and you'll be fed both physically and spiritually for free, and you'll also go home with a heavy sack of books, brand new books selected by me personally, donated by most of the major Christian publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom. I want to thank you so much, Justin, for being an excellent guest once again. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.